Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, August 4, 2015.
At 7:24, roll call.
Bill England.
Julie Hayward.
Brian Malloy.
Dave McCrimmon.
Dave Repka.
Napoleon Nelson.
Mary Russell. Stephanie Bryan.
Hey, motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second. Got
a vote? Aye.
One favor?
Aye.
Three items on the agenda: bond refinancing 2014-2015 financial updates, and then 2015-2016 financial updates. I'll turn it over to Ms. Michaels.
Thank you. I'm actually going to turn it over to Mr. Libby from CFM.
How are you?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, well, okay, it's good to see everybody again. I'll try and go through this.
Well, he's got a ton of them.
I'm going to give you a couple extras. Good to see everybody again. I'm Brad Remick with PFM. Karen and I have been working over the last couple weeks to talk about refinancing opportunities for debt that you already have outstanding for projects that you're funding. A lot of the bonds that you have out there, when we sell them, we put prepayment provisions on there that you can refund at some point in time without a penalty. So normally you have to wait 5 or so years to do that. In some cases, it's a little longer depending on what the market is. But I try to do this very succinctly. I don't want to bore you with my spreadsheet analyses. Karen has all those spreadsheet analyses and so forth. But I try and put it in a one-page summary as best I can. Page on this green covered handout, page number 2, which is a sideways page. What we do, and this is a sheet that I have on my desk, is we list all of the school district's bonds out there. It has by fiscal year the principal and interest payments on them. The top half is interesting for those of you that are new to this. It shows all the principal and interest payments for any PlanCon money you might get. We all know the status of the PlanCon process now, if not what it used to be. But that's the gross principal and interest there. And the bottom half does for any bond issues that you have reimbursement on, it nets that out. So you can see by fiscal year each bond and each approximate payment amount. The other thing that's really tiny is towards the bottom of that page, it also says the call date. That's the date at which the bonds can be refinanced without a penalty. So if I move from my left to right, there's a little bit of a 2007 bond that's been callable for a bit that we can refinance now without a penalty. The 09 bond, that we have to wait a little bit, so that's not one we can get at. The 09As just became callable this year, the 010As, the 010Bs, 10Cs, and the 10Ds. So it's all kind of right around this time that we can start thinking about it. If you look at the, for example, the under column 20 and 21, the OC, the 10 of OCs and the 10Ds, those are callable in February of 2016. I don't know if you can see that on this tiny sheet, but it's there. Now, what the rule basically says is you can refinance them up to 90 days before. So we don't have to necessarily wait till February, but we can close on a transaction and still be okay with the IRS rules, let's say November 15 of 2015. Okay. So that's kind of in play here as we get to the second half of the year, plus some of the other bonds you can see are callable this fall. So what we're proposing to do is put together a plan to kind of, as a package, refinance all these debts during the rest of this calendar year, 2015, so we could get all these refundings done for you and save a bunch of money. Okay. So page number, the next one, it's a color page 4. This time time I put post, it'll hopefully be easier to follow. And we have a four-step plan. The reason we're doing this in four steps, and I don't know if many of you may recall, but to the extent you can keep a bond $10 million or less on the face when you do it, you get a better interest rate. Because that means the bonds are called bank qualified. Sometimes we can do it, sometimes we can't. For example, I know last year when we did the new money borrow, we needed money rather quickly, so we couldn't necessarily chunk it up, okay? There are certain ways you can do that. If you're doing refinancings and you keep them under $10 million, you spread them out by 15 days, these are all the things that I keep me up at night, things that I have to worry about all the time, not the stuff that you necessarily need to worry about. And we do it that way, we can get the better rate. Right now, bank qualified is worth a quarter to a third of a percent. When you're talking $10 million, that's fairly significant. So what we have to do is make sure we have to price them 15 days apart. We need to keep the face under $10 million, and we need to make sure we don't extend the length of them at all. So one of the things that we will do here is obviously propose that we just exchange higher interest rates for lower interest rates, not stretch it down. So we're working through some stuff with your bond counsel in terms of how we can do it. At first, in step one, in the blue, and this is the one we're talking about, this one actually looks like it's $15 million. And we bunched a group together there. And we don't get the bank qualified designation, but you also notice that's the shortest bond issue. That's the bond issue that only goes out about 10 years. So the value is a little bit less. So the cost savings by grouping some of those together may make more sense to do it that way. We're still studying it, we're still figuring out with your bond counsels to make sure it's all okay. But to the extent this was the step one plan, I don't know if you can see it there, we would save about $299,000 on that refinance. Okay. Step two, what we did on that one, because that's a longer bond, and that one we want to make sure we keep bank qualified because the value of the savings on the interest rate is more because it's for a longer period of time. So that one we kept, if you see the size, they're under $10 million. $9,995 is the amount we chose. You can see the savings on that is $473,000 as we speak. So that's step two. Step three, we would come back and do another part of that bond about 15 or so days later. $700,000 savings. Step four would be that we clean up the C's and then pick up the 2010 D's, save another $111,000. So all told, it's about net of costs, somewhere about $1.5 million of savings. Doing just these refinances. And again, what we're doing is we're trying to maximize your interest savings by chunking them up. We're also going to, I just talked to my person who does the credit ratings, we're going to package this and go to the rating agency and say, view this as one deal. Give us the price for one deal, even though we're going to have different closings. So we're going to get the value of pricing for that by doing it as if it was one. So we're going to get that savings. We're going to do the same thing. So we're going to package it as one so we can save on cost of issuance. The key is to chunk them up and try and do the different pieces over the balance of 2015. We want to try and also close them this year, but we want you to have in 2016, because this $10 million thing that I told you about, this bank qualified, resets every calendar year. So when you get to January 1 of 2016, you could do something like this all over again, or fund new projects if you need to do that in that fashion. Okay? So this was an attempt in 2015. We haven't done anything. So let's try and get these refundings done in this way to maximize the savings. Like I said, there's spreadsheets and spreadsheets and spreadsheets out there that I didn't want to put in all the details. So it's a relatively aggressive plan. So what we did on the next page, page five, is to give you an idea of kind of the steps that need to be undertaken. Because what one of Kara and I have to do, but tonight we're just here to present this to you. If you want us to proceed with a refinancing plan next week, you could just approve a very simple resolution on the back, authorizing everybody that you've always worked with the financing team to get started on this and do that. You haven't incurred any cost yet. Still nothing. You're just kind of telling us to go ahead and work, telling Kara to go ahead and work on this with us as well. And then what we would do at your September 8th meeting is come back with a resolution that would authorize all this to occur. We'll probably have you, that's the resolution for August 11th, telling us to go do it, to get ready to do it. September 8th, we'd come back, you'd have a resolution on your agenda authorizing this refinancing plan to take place. And then we would start, as you can see, the four steps that we anticipate now will occur through the rest of the year and finish up the Christmas time. At the end of the day, as your financial advisor, it's our job to try and get the most net savings we can. $1.5 million or so is on the table right about now. Who knows what happens in the overseas and things over time, but I'm hoping we can accomplish it and get savings. So I kind of breezed through that relatively quickly. I know you have a fun evening tonight, so.
Four questions.
Mayor?
Just a couple questions. One, I know that a number of districts, school districts in the Commonwealth have been significantly downgraded by the rating agencies recently, primarily because of PISA's obligations. Am I correct in assuming that we don't anticipate a problem like that here because of the work that we've done to set aside funds to meet our PISA obligations and so on?
Yeah, I would be very highly surprised if there was any downgrade. We worked hard to get a double A category. You were the A category a while back. We got to double A. The nice thing about the double A is that if you sell bonds, if you have your own double A credit rating, you don't need to buy insurance.
Right.
That's a kind of a big expense if you're not a double A category. So you save that. So this is a really important component of this is to keep that.
And that in part depends on having a certain fund balance and we need the requirement to have that. Okay. The other thing is, I think you briefly said that you're anticipating approximately $1.5 million net of costs.
Correct.
So that the total, okay, just back and forth.
I'm trying to save paper and do two sided
copies. I'm a big proponent of the copy, actually. So it's like 1.594.
Correct.
And then, so the cost you're talking about are your fees, bond council's fees, the rating agency fees,
mm-hmm.
all the possible costs that you could incur.
Right.
And after all of that, we would say about $1.5 million
for
the next year.
Yeah, so just to go further on this page, column number 7 is what you currently are facing in terms of debt obligation. That's debt you issue. This is what your payments are. You would save the blue, save the red, save the purple, save the aqua, I guess. Column 12 is that adds up all those different three colors. And then you would be left with column 13. And we're refinancing everything that we can possibly refinance. I think it's very efficient to be doing all this same time, even though we have different steps, there's a lot of economies of scale to do that. Now, if we come back on September 8th and we approve the resolution that kind of allows all this, that resolution will authorize the whole thing. We're going to take it down in steps, in pieces, because we don't have a lot between September 8th and really Thanksgiving.
And my other question is, I see that the proposed resolution, work with RBC Capital Markets as the underwriter. Have raised this at prior meetings, the pros and cons of working with a negotiated rate and negotiated by underwriter versus going to auction and trying to get better rates. And you've been our advisor for a long time, so like you and I gather has been our bond council for a long time. There are certainly economies of scale of having people that know mm-hmm. us and know our district and our finances and everything. But in terms of putting up money, what is the rationale for using the same underwriter?
Well, they know where they know who the buyers are. I'm not here to. This is the rationale. Sometimes we do. I would say probably just to lay the honesty out there. About half of our deals are done internet. In this specific situation, because we're doing a parameters resolution, under state law, we need to have a contract filed in order to do this. So we would need to pick somebody up front. That would be the rationale for this. We also have, you have some debt that's not included on this schedule that I showed before. Page number 2. There's still some debt that you have under a resolution for new projects. Not yet been issued. It's about $30 million. And again, because of the parameters, that contract's wise. So outside of that $30 million, the parameters and this for funding, then I think it's anybody's game as to what they're going to do.
But it's your advice to go ahead and go, for the reasons you
just
stated,
right,
to go with RBC again?
To go with an underwear. And I don't see any reason why I shouldn't do that. One thing I'm able to control a little bit is avoid surprises. You know, like, you kind of know what their rate is and what their cost is. They also are, they do the most school business.
Ms. Hawkins.
So this is a nice follow-up to this question. In terms of the net savings and the upfront cost, so this $1.5 million is a savings to be realized over the life of the bonds, but there are some upfront costs associated with it. Is that upfront cost going to be a cost that is incurred in a single budgetary year? Is it rolled into the issuance and then it's paid out? Because obviously we want to realize $1.5 million savings over 20 years, but it's going to cost us $250,000 in year one that we don't have, right? That could sometimes be problematic, the upfront cost associated with the project. So what is the cost and how do we pay that cost?
It's all rolled into the bonds.
Okay.
So it's all, for example, in step one, if we did do that issue, it says this in the top box, $15 million $190. In that $15 million $190, it's paying off the old bonds and the costs.
You
finance the cost of the bond. So there wouldn't be any budgetary hit. So you wouldn't truly net that, see that cost rise.
Ms.
Hayward.
Just a quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Column 22 on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we are looking at steps through 2010. Can you clarify for me what disadvantage it would be to roll in this 2012 debt? I know it's not, we're not bank qualified.
Right. Yeah, if you go, we're to go down that, that's a good question. If you go down to the bottom there, if you'll notice, the call date's not until 2018. The one interesting, but that's a good question, because the one thing that you are allowed to do with new money transactions is you can advance to refund them prior to the call date. Okay, so what would happen is you borrow the money today, you'd have to put it in the bank. The bank would then have to hold it until 2018, until you pay the bonds off. Unfortunately, what's happening right now is if you did that, borrow that money today, put it in the bank for 2 years, and invested it for 2 years, the interest rate on that investment then would be very good. The interest rate on the 2 year rates are less than one. So what happens is even if you did change a rate from 4 to 3, let's just say, you're still paying 3 on that money for 2 extra years and only earning 1. The term, fancy term we use, is negative arbitrage. That's a negative. So you could do that, but there's no savings.
Any other questions from board members before we go to the public? No? Any questions from the public?
Yes.
Just
a layman,
Fred Milford from Elton's Park. So in certain years, you have these very large savings. Like on column 9, proposed local effort, the red, it says $271,180. How do you get that large savings?
It's by maneuvering the way we restructure the new bond. So for example, in that year in the red, in 2018-2019, the payment that might be scheduled for the school district, let's just say, is $1 million. Okay? And if we did, what we can do is we can take some principal out of that year to make the payment not $1 million, but in this case, $730,000. So $1 million minus $730,000 gets you the $271,000 of savings. So you can maneuver how you repay the principal during in the structure of the bond, because the bond is a little bit different than a mortgage. A mortgage, you kind of have the same payment every month. On a bond, you have principal or interest payments 2 times a year, and then a principal payment, which you can manipulate a little bit. So what we try to do, and I'm glad you asked that, what we try to do is look at this as a big picture. For example, if you look at column number 7, you'll notice that the school district's payments on their debt are a little bit higher for the next 4 or 5 years. And with some things, you know, possibly coming on board for some new projects, we wanted to try and get more relief in the upfront years, so it would be easier to absorb any new debt that the school would be needing to take on. So if you look at column 12, and we look where we are today, that if we go to 12 and then 13, you'll notice that we're about where we are today, 7.7, but then in the next going years, we're going to drop it from 7.5 to 7.2 and so forth and so on, and get it down to a little more level run rate.
So these debt repayments include principal and interest.
That's
not
correct.
So you're just not saving. That's why you're getting the larger,
right?
Because you're not saving on the interest. You're saving. You're manipulating. Not manipulating.
Yeah.
You're moving the principal.
Restructuring.
Yeah. All right. That's what you're computing. So this isn't just interest. This is principal and interest.
That's correct. Because again, going back to the other question regarding costs, you want to wrap that all in. So you want to write a check in your.
Some of the highlights for that, and I've kind of prepped you with this as we've gone along through the last year. A couple things happened in 2014-15 on the local effort. We realized about $500,000 of additional revenue collections in our real estate transfer tax. Some of the big hits there was the sale of the towers and the sale of Shellham Ball. I consider those one hit types of things. I don't consider that our transfer tax would come in at that same level for 15 and 16. Under the state revenue, we were lucky enough to receive some plan com money that was released. So we realized about $1 million in additional plan com money that we weren't anticipating. Under the local area also, our tax collections came in at a higher collection rate than anticipated. So we realized some additional revenue there. Federal was pretty much flatlined. And the other piece, if you remember, that in the last budget process under 14-15, we were going to pull reserves for our PEASRs to offset some of our PEASRs costs. And as you see with our revenue collection, I didn't feel the need that we would have to touch that money. So that just remained as is. Under the expenditure side, you'll see that we came in under budget as of right now, about $2.1 million. It's about 97-98% of our expenditures. Again, we're still working to book some things that were in 14-15. Some examples that are coming in, you'll see under other purchase service, we still have about $673,000 left in that category. That's a lot of our charter and tuition bills. Those things trickle in as they reconcile, so we're anticipating that we're going to have some invoices come in under there. So that's a preliminary look of where we're at, where we are at right now for 14-15.
Any questions from the board members?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Hayward.
I know. Thank you very much, Karen. Okay, I'm just, Ms. Michaels. I know this is preliminary. Do we have a sense, I don't know, I know you don't know exactly where we're going to end up, but with the 2.1, I know we're not going to end up there, but do you look at that variance in that third column? That all of that will flat out to zero, or do you expect that there'll be some savings?
I anticipate salaries and benefits right now will have a little bit more that hit because of the chargeback, but for the most part, if you recall, when I was doing these snapshots throughout the year, salary and benefits used to have this big flux to it. It seemed like we weren't spending up to speed. What happens is that we pay out our teacher contract the last pay in June. So it's the equivalent of four payrolls. So that hits right at the end of June. So that's where it hits. So that's pretty much where we landed with our salaries and expenses and benefits. The other areas, so the 300s to the 900s are going to be your areas that will experience some change. We had some preliminary discussions throughout the year, if you recall, about, you know, the one-hit revenues, what we were going to do with that, and that'll be brought back in making the decision on if we're adding to our fund balance and assigning it, or if it's an opportunity to transfer into capital reserve for capital projects.
And for the, I think I overheard Mr. Nelson, for the supplies, that still would be money we think we would spend between now and...
Yes, the 600 level is not just like pens, paper, it's software, it's other things. So as invoices are coming in, and again, it's the stuff that's trickling in. So it's a possibility we might hit a little bit more in that line item, but that might not too much of a flux.
Ms. Hoffman.
Thank you, Ms. Michaels. So speaking of the 600 series of supplies, that seems a significant variance as compared to the other categories of expenditures. Was there something that we anticipated in that line item that did not occur in terms of an expense? Why is it so far out of variance in terms of our budget versus actual?
Things that hit in that line item are anticipated books. It could be books, workbooks. A lot of that is honestly dictated by the building budgets and what gets paid for out of curriculum as opposed to the building budgets. So sometimes what happens is the building budget might budget for something in the book section. And then as they work with Mr. Knoll's office, Mr. Knoll might say, okay, we're going to take care of that. It might free some other money up to do some other stuff.
Is that a place where we could conceivably realize some budgetary savings by bringing people's budgeted closer to actual in
yes,
the future?
Absolutely. The other thing, if you recall, I cut spending in April. So I basically said, you're not ordering unless it goes through my office in April. So what it does is it stops the mass, okay, I have $1,500 left that I haven't spent. Let me start stockpiling for next year. So it's a kind of a cost-saving mechanism that you can kind of see the trend now that maybe there's some areas that we can cut in line items and reallocate.
Excellent.
Any other questions from the board before we get to the call? Any questions from the public? Yes, Fred.
Sorry to ask a random question.
So
where is the debt payments?
The 800 and 900 series.
In 800 and 900?
Yes, interest is 800 and 900 principal. So it's split between the two. There's also other items in the 800 series. It's not, debt is just not in one line item that you're going to see that bottom line number because there's other areas that contribute to the 800 and 900 series. The 900 series, for the most part, is your debt along with your budgetary reserve. Your 800 series has other items such as dues and fees, admissions for student events. So it's not just the interest piece only of your debt.
And you're not going to do it as principal, right?
Yes.
Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Nelson?
So, I'm sorry, so what are we thinking now? We were looking before, and I know we've had several different approvals or assessment appeals. The value of the mill, did we finally actually have an uptick in this current school year on the value of the mill?
Did it increase?
Yeah.
This
is probably, I think this is like the first time in several years that the value of the mill did not go down again. So, something else. Let's look at long term.
Mr. Miller. Yeah, it's like just a quick question. The local revenue, we got a $500,000 on with one hit with the real estate transfer tax. The other approximately almost $2 million, is that because better tax collection or because the mill went up?
Yes, it was our tax collection rate that was used for budgeting purposes. We realized a bit higher for that. The other thing that you have to remember also, though, is that we are going through a couple of assessment appeals that is going to impact us. Yes, because we still have the Sheltonham Mall assessment appeal. So that will affect it a little bit, but yes, those were. And the other area that we realized some increases in revenue, and I think this is trending this way for all school districts, is because we switched to the countywide collection for earned income tax, everybody's been realizing an increase in the EIT collections. So it's trending on an increase, yes.
All right.
Here you go.
Okay, and this is the same exact snapshot, but it's for 15-16. Kind of boring right now because we're not really into the heart. I will thank all the taxpayers for starting to pay the tax bill because, you know, I think tax bills went out in July or somewhere around in July and people started paying, so the bulk of that is tax.
My money is
not in. They don't
coming
in.
On the flip side, a couple areas that you'll see that are a little bit lower right now. Obviously, the teachers are not back on the payroll, so our payroll is not hitting heavy right now. Some of the areas that you're going to see, you're kind of seeing increased spend, and you're saying, okay, we're 79% complete. It's all prepping for the start of the school year. So that's a lot of the bulk ordering that happens for the start of the school year.
Any questions from the board? Mr. Boyd.
Mr. Michaels, on the salaries for 15-16, are those mostly, is that a combination of administrative salaries and teachers who come in for doing some staff development?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all the 12-month employees and then any curriculum writing or any of those types.
Done in July and
yes.
August. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Another board question.
Public?
Well, you didn't do the summary.
Oh, we're on for that.
All right.
Thank you, Ms. Marcus. All right. Hey, when you want to start
this concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.